Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. We have just watched NXT TakeOver. This will be a only NXT TakeOver edition. Let Nick has joined us here. Nick, what did you think of that?
My heart is broken. I'm crying. I had such a good time, and then I had to get stabbed in the back. You know, it's how it is. It is what it is.
It does hurt. It does hurt. Let's go ahead and just talk about the last match first then, okay?
Well, we can start in order.
Okay.
We can work our way to the heartbreak like, you know, the show did.
Okay. All right. Starts out with Poppy. Two new tracks. She was hot. As in, the tracks were hot. The music was loud. Way to kick off a show there. And then we have Keith Lee versus Dominik Dijakovic. What did you think, Nick?
Well, first of all, I missed the Poppy thing because I was in the middle of something. And right before we actually start the aftermath stuff, the stage itself.
Yeah.
This is new, and I like it.
Right.
I don't know, like, because you had the two big screens on the side, and then you had, like, this weird flashing, this 8-bit, 16-bit, or whatever thing is behind the wrestlers as they came out. It was just, it made it feel like its own event instead of just like, oh, and then we just happened to be like, borrowing from NXT, from like SmackDown or Raw this time. It felt like its own entity, and I liked that. But as for the match itself, you know, you can't really go wrong with Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. You can never go wrong. They're just so good. Always. I don't really know what else to say. We've talked about them several times. They're just really good. And it's not boring, because they threw a chair in there at this time, or like a rolling chair in there this time, which was very fun. I enjoyed that. But Dijakovic powering through the powerbomb was the hypest I've felt for Dijakovic. And I've already been in the Dijakovic train. I've been sporting this man. That's when I was like, absolutely. Absolutely, I will support you in whatever you do. 100%.
When he did that flip from the springboard flip from the ring into the chair?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh? He just missed really hurting himself, too. He just missed it.
He's going all out.
Both guys.
They did.
Go ahead.
No. That's it.
Both guys flip out of choke slams. Then you get a spirit bomb into another spirit bomb, and he kicks out. Avalanche, Spanish fly. Just two guys just killing it. Killing it.
And they're big.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing in that they're able to kind of do things with one another that I don't know that they could do with a lot of other people, because they're really strong and coordinated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like they were designed to wrestle each other in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. If you drew two guys in a lab to face each other, they would be the ones, right? Your power forward and your nose guard from two different sports, just killing it. And it was a fantastic match. Right now, Keith Lee goes over, which we kind of knew had to happen, because he's the future of the biz, it looks like. And you were impressed by this, I assume?
Always am with these two.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Dakota Kai versus Tegan Nox. What'd you think?
I have a very fun street fight. I like how Tegan Nox didn't get 2 feet out of her entrance before Dakota Kai was like, nah, we're doing this now. I'm gonna whip you across the ring now. It's very fun.
Right, the duct tape in the corner spot was good, with a couple of kicks upside the head, and then you had the shiniest wizard, and she had it won. But then that wasn't good enough for her, and she goes for the table spot, and Raquel Gonzalez runs out. Now, what did you think about that?
I don't know this person who ran out. I'm sure I'll find out on Wednesday.
Well, I know, I was watching it with the Go Home Heat kid, Ray, but he had something he had to attend to when it was over. And he wasn't real happy with it, because he was like, they could have used somebody that we know for this spot. But then there's a little bit of me that was thinking, well, they're introducing somebody right here. You know what I mean? Which sometimes, you know, I didn't hate it like he hated it. I kind of would have liked, I don't know if you can have a clean finish in a street fight, but you know what I mean? I kind of would have liked some kind of closure to this instead of the girl coming in and helping. But if you're going to have Knox lose and give Dakota that bad guy run right there, I guess having a run in is helpful to that. And I don't know if this winds up being some form of a tag team or what. What do you think?
I have a feeling that, like, my initial thought was, like, if anyone's going to run in, it's going to be, like, Chelsea Green or something, because she's trying to make waves. I think that there's going to be a kind of, like, don't quote me on this, but you know how Team Kick was, an amalgamation of some folks? Well, it was a tag team, but it was also just, like, it was a large group. I think we might be, like, seeing the beginning of a women's version of the Undisputed Era. Not, like, literally, they're just the Undisputed Era, but women. But, like, they're, like, just a heel women faction. Because we don't, like, we tried it with the Nightmare Collective in AEW. That didn't turn out too hot. But we can try again here. And I feel like Dakota Kai and this new person could be good, but you guys gotta get that.
Give him somebody else. Person. Make it a little bigger. Okay. I got you. So Dakota goes over in surprising fashion, and we'll move on to Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano. Before it started, I tweeted out on our Go Home Heat Twitter feed that I thought this could be match of the year, and I don't think I was wrong.
All the next matches from this point forward could. Man, they just pulled out all the stops for every single one of them. And, oh, man. Oh, this match is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's Finn Balor and the man who would break my heart in a couple of hours. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But this was a really just good old-fashioned fight. It's wrestling. It's good old wrestling. I don't know what to say other than the fact that they just are great.
They started.
I will say that the beginning was like kind of slow. At the beginning, it's like they're trying to build up to it, obviously. But she just came off a really high intensity of like a street fight, so like you have to dial it down a little bit so that way everyone can catch their breath again.
Well, and two, the first match was really high intensity too. So you had like the crowd was on a 30-35 minute wave right there. If you count the concert, even more. And so them starting out kind of slow, but even that was as Nigel quoted Gordon Solie, the human game of chess, right? And you had counter after counter after counter, and both guys kind of showcasing what they're able to do on the ground, and then that goes to them showcasing what they can do in the ring but not on the ropes without the aerial moves, and then they go outside of the ring and they showcase some of the things they can do, and then they really begin to snowball into move and move and counter and counter, and it was just so well done.
A slingshot spear.
Yeah.
A slingshot spear.
Slingshot spear.
Ooh, it looked very good. I've never seen that before. Granted, I've been out for a little bit, and I'm relatively new. But that's just really cool.
Right. Springboard DDT was done in that thing, too. Sling. The finish was a sling blade.
The finishing sequence was just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Oof. And he stuck the landing on the coup de grace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that looked like it hurt. Hit him right in the middle, you know, and then he turned right
the belly button.
Right, and he stuck the landing on the, was it 1916?
Yeah.
Yeah, he stuck the landing on that, too. It was, man, so good. All the stars. All right, now on to Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Belair, what did you think?
That's very good. It was very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
They started out with the strength moves, and you have two very strong, powerful women, and those were great, and then you kind of snowballed it into the you had the slap spots, you know, and then
the slap spots were very good.
Right. Very good. And that turns into the whip, and then they keep it going the whole time. Eventually Bianca gets her into a corner, goes for a sunset flip, and that gets no, that's not what happened. Bianca does get her in the corner, but Rhea goes for the sunset flip, which gets countered by Bianca because Bianca's able to hold on to the rope, but it didn't work out because Rhea was able to turn that into the Riptide for the finish. Well done, right?
Yeah. I will say that something I noticed is, like, in the last, like, Balor versus Gargano, had a bunch of false finishes, like, over and over and over again, back to back to back. So when the ending happened for this, I was like, and then she kicks out, right? Because I forgot, like, there wasn't a lot of false finishes in this match. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. It really just kind of solidifies, I want to say, Rhea's, like, Riptide as being something to be feared.
Right.
Like, this will put you out. I don't care where we are in the match. If it gets you, you're gone.
Right. And then Charlotte does the old jumped her from behind when it was over, announces she's going to be at Mania, hits her with the natural selection, and we're fired up, right?
Absolutely. Natural selection is a great move.
Absolutely.
And I'm really happy that we're going to be getting this.
All right. Bobby Fish, O'Reilly, Riddle, Dunn, what did you think?
I love me some Bruiserweights. 100%. I love me some Undisputed Era. I think this might be my match of the night.
Really?
It's so hard to choose between these final four matches.
That's great.
Between my favorite children.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know why the Bruiserweights work so much, but they just do.
They've worked.
And I
keep going.
Yeah, it's just like the straight man and like the, it's like a simple comedy thing of the straight man and the ball you bounce off of it. It works so well together with those two, and they just play off perfectly. And not only that, like comedic, like just like regular chemistry wise, but just straight up, like wrestling wise, they also have very similar like separate styles that somehow work together. Like Matt Riddle's always like high intensity all the time. Meanwhile, you got like literally a bruiser in the Bruiserweight. It's such a good combination. And then you have Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish just being the greatest.
Absolutely. Well, and like you said too, Riddle and Dunn, they aren't just perfect at offsetting each other outside of the ring. The match totally changes speed when it's Pete Dunne in the ring wrestling either O'Reilly or Fish, right? And then when he manages to get the hot tag, there's the same intensity, but the speed of the match totally changes into this frantic thing that Matt Riddle does. And then when they do work together, they're able to still keep their individuality, but it's always tandem moves. It's just that they're really a good tag team, especially for two guys that just started doing it, right?
I really hope that they just keep the tag. I don't want them to see a one and done thing like Ricochet and Aleister Black. I think that these two legitimately could be a really good tag team just in general. I want to see them go. I want to see them go far with their,
yeah,
their tag team.
Yeah, the only problem is I feel like Riddle has star written all over him. You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I was thinking about that myself. Like, there's the issue of Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle are just so high of stars that you're like, Pete Dunne has, like, had that NXT UK championship for, like, over, like, 2 years or so. Or, like, right around 2 years, I would say. Don't misquote me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Matt Riddle, who is just that good. But the problem is that all the belts are taken. Because you have Adam Cole with the big belt. You got Keith Lee with the North American Championship. And both of those guys, you don't want to move right now. Because they're both really hot commodities.
Right.
The way you do these two.
Well, and Dream coming back too, right? And Dream coming back too.
But Dream coming back too? Absolutely. Dream might be the one. I think he's going to take over the big belt. I think he's going to be the one to take over.
Cole.
When we get to that match, we'll talk about it. But the victor of that final match, I think it's going to be Dream taking him on. But I really think that this is a smart, like, I do understand what you mean, but I think that, like, them being as big of stars as they are, this will elevate the tag team belts more than they already have been. To being like, oh, Matt Riddle and Pete Dunn have the tag team belts? Well, good luck to the Forgotten Sons, you know?
Right. I hope you're right.
It's given them the belt that, like, we can't give you any belts, but you can bring this belt up, and you can make this belt your own. And I feel like that's a really good thing to do.
Right. Correct. So Bruiserweights go over, and they have won the Dusty Rhodes Classic and the tag team titles, and then we go on to our main event of the evening, I believe, which was Adam Cole Bay Bay versus Tommaso Ciampa. And what did you think about this?
I was having a heart attack a good 80% of this match.
You wanted Ciampa to win, right?
I have been on the Ciampa train mm-hmm. for a long time. I'm a fan of my favorite beaver.
right.
It's just, as soon as I saw him winning, personally, I knew, oh no, he's going to lose, and I hate this. But just strictly on like just a wrestling baseline, these two brought the beginning section was so well done because like they kept on like dodging each other's moves. Like mm-hmm. I studied your thing, I studied my thing. They chose automatically, we are here for a reason. We are the top of the division for a reason. And we are going to make sure that it's literally just like a blood, like I'm going to kill you to get this
correct
at one point.
The whole show was somewhat of a start off each match with counters, but this one was even more so and even better, and it lasted longer, and they were able to more seamlessly do it than most people can. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was thinking, because like you've seen counters in the other one, but this one is like straight up whiffs of like hits, not like, oh, they might have hit it. No, this is like I backed up and like a point, like I know what you were doing. And they try to do counter, then it's counter, then another counter is counter, then it's back to back to back, and just like very effective and well done.
Even like the spots on the outside of the ring all started out with the one who was doing better. Like Cole was going to put him through a table. No, and then he flips the script and he winds up getting his sternum hit on the monitor right there. Did you see that spot on poor Cole where he got slammed face first down?
a lot of spots in here made me go owie.
And Ciampa's about to put it on Cole, and he manages to get Wheelbarrow slammed into the table where the middle of his shoulder blades hits at table level and the head snaps back. And I was really worried for him until I saw him grab his head, because his head didn't hit anything. So I felt like, okay, well, he must be okay, because if he had snapped his neck, he'd have grabbed his neck. If he'd have snapped his, if it hurt him bad, it would have been somewhere other than the top of his head, which he was grabbing. So I felt a little bit better about it. But yeah, it was a rough spot. And then that didn't get much better. There were other spots that were just as bad. You had, Ciampa should have been out. I mean, you could argue that nothing was a finisher in this match, but but it was great. It was great. The two cross faces. Remember they had the battling cross faces towards the end of the match after they'd been going and going and going. And then, of course, you get the obligatory Undisputed Era running in to help, and Roddy tries to help, and the tag team Fish and O'Reilly try to help, and Ciampa manages to handle all of that, and Ciampa manages to do the jump over the top rope to take everybody out. The referee's out cold. Ciampa crawls to grab Goldie to spank Adam Cole upside the head with it, and Gargano is there to aid his best buddy. And then what happens?
And then Johnny Wrestling broke my heart.
He did. He
took the title. They snatched it away from him, and as soon as Ciampa went back, like, hey, what are you doing? Smacked him with the gold. Also, you forgot one very important thing.
Yes.
Which is the classic heel face, baby face thing that's happened in NXT for a bit, which is the ref gets knocked out of the ring, and then the finishing move is done, and then the baby face lays on top of the heel, and then it's like one, two, three, but no one is there to do the count outs.
They got the 14.
So you know he could have won. You know that he won.
Yes.
But Johnny Failure wanted to mess with me, Nicholas Crosshack, personally.
Yes. Yes, it hurt.
He came along, ruined my dreams.
Judas.
Cole got the win and not winning. I'm sad. But you know what? I'm excited for this feud to come back again.
Correct.
It's so weird because it's like the opposite of the way it was originally. I mean, I could see Johnny's reasoning of like, now you come back and you're the conquering hero after all the stuff you've done to me, and you think I'm just going to let it slide.
Mm-hmm.
So So I get that. It's just, man, you could have waited like a day.
And now you believe
Wednesday to do this.
Now you believe that this means Cole winds up fighting Dream at some point.
I think Dream is going to mow through the era, like, you know, Four Horsemen, just like go through each single one of them until he can reach
the stages of hell.
The big guy on top.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Like a good action movie should be.
Get rid of the flunkies and get to the main course.
Okay. Okay. So overall, what did you think of the pay per view?
A lovely, lovely, lovely show. Fantastic show. Even though it broke my heart at the end, you know, still. It was still fantastic, and I'd watch it all again.
I thought it was amazing. An amazing night of pro wrestling. It really was. I enjoyed it. I thank you for watching it and for coming on here with us. So for this is a nice quick episode for you, just a little recap of what just happened. Lit Nick from via satellite from SCAD University. Me, KP. This has been a Go Home Heat production, a wrestling podcast, copyright 2020. Nick?
Go Home.